Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. And we're going to start off with something just a little more lighthearted. So I have a few pictures to show you about dads who are put in charge and how they handle certain situations. So the first one, if I recall, is a little girl needing a ponytail. Is that the number one? And I thought that was ingenious. I'm absolutely good with that. And you know what? That thing isn't coming out. That's going to stay there. And so that's a good one. And then, of course, if you're a father of a little baby, sometimes they just get a little squirrely on you while you're trying to do your thing. And so here's this next picture that just shows how to make sure that doesn't happen. And I thought, wow, where was that picture when I was a dad of babies, you know? But thankfully, I am a grandparent now, so I might still have some use for this. And the last one is absolutely I'm so good with, because this is how you have fun with dad, and mom's not so sure about it. But I'm good with that. That is absolutely okay. I can't tell you how close to that really is of my life right there. So my kids are alive and well, but no, I still remember, you know, there were things that we did with our son, Levi. He was our firstborn. And we would go and talk about this. You know, like, you know those super sour balls? You know, when he was like 3 days old, I'm sticking those things on his lips. I'm like, look at this face, everybody. And they're looking, oh, he's so cute. When was he born? Oh, 3 days ago. Watch this. And they're like, oh, you can't do that. And I'm like, why not? He's fine. He loves it. So dads, you're awesome, and grandpas, you know, keep it good, right? But we do need to be on a serious note, because while we are certainly oftentimes the fun parent, we also have great responsibility. And I know, moms, you can have fun too, and some of you are jokesters in your own worlds, and I appreciate that. But let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. I've shared this statistic, you know, probably well over 100 times over the years, maybe, you know, 5 times that many times. But I do want to speak to the issue of the importance of dads who follow after God. It's a known statistic that when a child comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he does influence his family. He will have an impact on the family because of his faith, but the percentage of times that the whole family will follow suit and give their life to Christ is about 3%. So 3% of the time, the whole family will follow after God when a child gets saved. And I believe in children's ministries. We believe in that. We would not have done what we did, if that's proper English, to hire Pastor Jason to focus on children. Even though he's an associate, that is his specialty. But we need to reach more than just the children if we really want to impact families. And so the statistic also shows that it's true that about 17% of the time, upwards to 20% of the time, when mom gets saved, the entire family follows suit. About 15 to 20%, I think it's 17 is the average. That the entire family, you know, father, rest of the siblings, they follow suit and they become born-again believers. But here's the thing that just rocks my world, and I hope it rocks yours. It's over 90% of the time that the whole family follows dad when dad gets saved. It's actually been as high as 97%, but it's usually 93 and up that the statistic holds true, that when dad is serious about following God, the whole family follows God. So when I get to a day like today, and I'm speaking on Father's Day, I take it very personal, because I am still a father. I am still a grandfather. And I know that my influence is great. I may not want it, but it's there. There are times where I wish I didn't have it, so I could screw up and do it wrong and not worry about the impact. But the reality is it hurts others. And I wish I could say I haven't made mistakes, but I've made too many. I still remember when my son turned three, when Levi turned three. I don't know if you remember this conversation, Tina, but I remember things of my life when I was 3 years old. I can tell you stories of my childhood, and my parents look at me, "How did you know this happened?" I say, "I remember it." They're like, "How could you? You were only three." And when my son turned 3 years old, I realized I can't make any more mistakes because now he'll remember them. It's true. We had this conversation. And I was not fearful when he was born. I was not fearful when Ashley was born. I was not fearful when Jessica was born. I was fearful when they turned three. Because unless there's video evidence, I'm good. And we had plenty of that as well. But here we have a scripture that's referring to a people that has turned their backs on God. They've turned to the evil ways of their surroundings and their culture. And God is about to bring judgment upon him. But if he can find somebody to stand up, then he will be able to withhold the judgment. He will be able to hold back what is about to take place. In Ezekiel 22, verse 30, it says, "And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." I found none. Let's pray. Lord God, this verse is pretty powerful. And there's so much more that's in the background that we could go to, but we see what is being said. We know that it's true. We accept it as truth. And we find the challenge very personal. I pray, Lord, that I will be the guy, I will be the man that you can find in a world full of chaos. In a world that is striving towards evil, that is pursuing things outside of your blessing, I will be the guy that can stand up and say, "I'll be there for you, Lord. I will speak truth. I will lead my family. I will stand for what is right. Regardless of the consequence, regardless of the enemy, regardless of the extreme pressure from my friends, I will stand for you." Lord, I pray that all of us today, not just the men, while it is very important and we're having a specific focus day, it's really for all of us to stand for truth. May we accept the challenge in Jesus' name. Amen. God is looking for men to do his work. He's looking for men to stand in the gap. He's looking for men to be righteousness in this world full of sin. Will you be one of them? That's the challenge today. You know, yesterday I drove the bus for the Blue Devils baseball team, and I still find it kind of ironic and funny that I drive for the Devils. It's like, and I'm so glad we have DCC, you know, Dawson Community College. They're the Buccaneers. I mean, they're pirates. You know, they like to take things that aren't theirs by ships, you know, but at least they're not Devils, right? And I love our schools. I love our teachers, our administration. I'm not so hip about the mascot for obvious reasons. Nevertheless, I support our schools. Amen? I'm glad we have sports and teams that we can follow. But here I am in Hardee's in Dickinson yesterday, and things must have been chaotic before we got there, because we go in with the baseball team before we start our games, and they want to get some food, so that's where we went. And we're standing there in line, and they are just like, nothing's happening in the kitchen area. The guy behind the counter is just frazzled. And it's like, wow, are we going to get food or what? This other gentleman comes walking in, and I say that very graciously because he was angry. He was upset that his food was not in his hands. He went through the drive-thru, and he had been waiting for 10 minutes. And he just lit up. And the guy behind the counter, young guy, young manager, I didn't tell him this, but he probably could have handled it a little better. I mean, he was right in what he said. He said, "Listen, dude, you can't come in here and speak to me like that. Just cool your jets." You know, and he basically just shot the guy down. And this guy, he got so calm and relaxed. No. He's like, and his eyes got bigger and bigger. And then finally he kind of mumbled something that I can't repeat. And he went to the door, slammed the window, not the bar of the door, and the whole window, boom, 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 and he went out, bam, bam, like that. And then he was gone. Now, why do I share this? Well, I share this for a very specific reason. While I'm sitting there waiting for my food, I'm thinking, this guy could have a gun. And I'm not being funny. We have a restaurant full of teenage boys that have no clue. And I'm watching because I sat with my back to the window, my facing the door, and I went through the steps of how I could take him out before he started shooting. This is what I was doing. Because I'm ready to lay my life on the line to save those guys from possible death. This is the world we live. Here's what's really interesting. We get home from a pretty good day. The guys really played good ball, by the way. They won the big one, the first one big, and then they barely lost at the end on the second game. But we get home, and I'm talking to the coach, and I said something to him. Yeah, that guy that came in, I was ready to take him out if I had to, because I thought he might have a gun. He looks at me, he goes, I was thinking the same thing. So there's two men that were ready to put their life on the line for those boys. This is the world we live. And here's my question, and here's why I share this with you. Are you willing, guys, to put your life on the line for your family? And you know what? If there's a gun involved and there's going to be this massacre, I believe most of you, if not all of you, if you're able and physically able to move in that way, you would absolutely do it. Absolutely put yourself in harm's way. We have a generation of people that are getting into their upper ages, you know, the 80s, the 90s, who are remembering when they signed up to fight in a war because it was the right thing to do to protect our country and to give us the freedom that we have today. I get that. But here's what's really struggle with. Here's the problem I have. We are willing to lay our life on the line, but we can't live for Jesus Christ in righteousness. We can't lead our families in a godly way. We can't stand up and say no to sin. We can't stand up and say yes to righteousness, no to unholiness. Our wandering eyes, our need and our desire for this respect goes so far that we are disrespectful. We are told by the Word of God that we are supposed to be like Jesus Christ, who laid his life on the line for the church. He died for us. And so we are called to die for our wives, to put their needs far above our own. We'll take a bullet, but we can't honor our own families. That's what's disturbing to me when I read this passage of Scripture. And when I say this, I say it personally. I found myself failing, as I'm sure you have as well. We can do better. Here's the weirdness of it all. We're willing to die for Christ, but so often we're not willing to live for him. We have our wants. We are selfish. We are proud. And we have this thing going on. And we aren't able to make the right decisions when we ought. Now, I say this with a humongous blanket statement that covers all mankind. And I don't want to do that today throughout this entire message. Because I do want to acknowledge those who have said, I stand for truth. I will stand in righteousness. I will give my life in such a way that my wife's needs are important to me. And I will crush my own desires in order to bless her. I will step over my own selfishness and put her and my children first. That I know happens as well. It just happens far too little in the big scheme of things. God is looking for men, and the first point is this: men with decision. Quit waffling around about faith. Quit waffling on your desire to follow God. Make a decision. Do it. Let me tell you something. As a man, it's so refreshing when we finally say, okay, then. How many know what I'm talking about, guys? When you're finally there and I'm going to do this, boom, it's like the whole battle is over. You've got there. You did what you had to do. You made a decision. And now there's no turning back. If you're stubborn like me, you know what I'm talking about. I remember as a kid when I was approached about drinking alcohol when I was in the third grade, and I was at a basketball game. My friends were going down to the locker, and they were drinking something called peppermint schnapps. I had no idea what that was. I thought it was a berry drink of some kind. I'm thinking, what's that? And I was thinking, this will be fun, you know. I mean, I'm a third grader, for goodness sakes. And they're like, duh, stupid. It's alcohol. And I heard the word alcohol. I kind of got it. I understood a little bit. My family didn't drink alcohol. And so I basically said no. And they're, why not? And I said, well, because my church doesn't believe in it and my mom and dad won't let me. That was my big answer. That was it. Now, here's the weird thing. That was the one and only time I ever had to turn my friends down. Because I had made a decision, and the battle was over. Fifth grade, don't even ask Kevin, he won't do it. And I just became the guy that doesn't drink. I made it, and later on in life, when all of hormones and all that stuff's going on, and you want to be popular, you want to be cool, which I don't know if I ever really wanted that, and that's why I'm not cool. I never was, never will be. I'm okay with that. It was my choice. I made a decision. It was easy. I've never had a desire for alcohol. Not all of you can say that. Some of you will say, I've been an alcoholic for practically my whole life. And to this day, it's a struggle. I understand that. But you understand what it is when you make a choice and you're like, I'm stuck on this choice. I'm going forward. Well, I want to encourage you. Look at Joshua 24 with me. Joshua 24. You all know this passage. My tablet's just waking up. I must have talked too long there. Sorry. Verse 14 and verse 15. If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, that's pretty incredible, isn't it? Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm sorry, I was supposed to read verse 14 before that. Verse 14, we'll back it up. It says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. So the challenge is serve the Lord, and that challenge is still here today. Serve the Lord through the blood offering sacrifice of the cross through Jesus Christ. You can find forgiveness of sins. You can be made new. You can be born again through the renewing power of God because he rose, and now he is able to set you free. Choose to serve him with your whole heart. Or if that seems stupid to you, I'll use that word, if that seems evil to you, well, quit waffling around and pretending like you're interested. Quit saying that you are and then you're not. Choose, make a decision, do it. Serve the Lord or just get out of the way. Because you're not doing any good when you're waffling in the middle. And that's the truth right there. How many enjoy those times where you're going out for a date with your wife or your girlfriend or you're heading somewhere with friends and you're like, the big question comes up, where are we going to eat? We all have stories. Where are we going to eat? I don't know. Where you want to eat? I don't know. Where you want to go? And here's what I found out over the years. Guys, I'm just going to say this because I've learned this to be mostly true. Just make a decision. Just go. Just go somewhere. Just say, we're going here. And your wife will say, ah, that's so refreshing. All the women said amen. Now, don't you dare pull this because it does happen. Okay, fine, we're going to go here. I don't want to go there. I can't eat that. Don't do that. Stop it. You want him to make a decision, let him do it and be happy.
How many know what I'm saying? Say amen, right?
Men who decide to serve God for themselves. God's looking for men who decide to serve God for their families. Will you serve the Lord in all circumstance? I pray that you are a man of decision and you are true to what you've chosen to do. Amen? Hallelujah. God is looking for men with desire. Turn to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 10. It's a long expression of words that focuses on this one pinpointed area, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. In other words, a man who desires to know God regardless of the consequence of serving him. I am willing to die for my faith. I'm willing to go to the wall for my Lord Jesus Christ. You have a desire to know God, to know him in a personal way. That is what God is looking for. Men with decision, make a decision, do it, follow him. But men with desire. We have lots of desires, don't we, guys? There are so many things in the world that we could get excited about, that really, when you look at it from the big picture, they mean nothing. You know, I was making fun about new vehicles, getting that diesel truck, whatever it might be, the brand new off the lot, 80,000, 84,000 I've seen. I'm like, are you kidding me? That is so outrageous. I hope you own a business and you can write that off somehow, because that's just insane. And thankfully, there are times where you can do that. You need that kind of equipment. I was asking some of the people at the fair when I was taking tickets. There's a John Deere combine sitting there, brand new. I said, how much do you think that combine costs, just like that, without the header? And they're saying, well, one girl says, oh, I'll bet it's over $100,000. I was like, go up. She goes, really? It's more than that? I said, oh, yeah. When I was driving a combine for a farmer back in South Dakota, it was already 3 years old, and the retail used value at that time was $550,000, and it was a $750,000 combine new, and that was about 10 years ago. I've been told, and I haven't verified this, but I've been told that you're upwards of $1 million now for that machine sitting there. Isn't that incredible? And of course, all of us guys go, whoa, 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 wow, that'd be amazing, that'd be awesome. Oh, to drive that machine. And my brother, he doesn't have any of that stuff. He just can't figure out how anybody makes it work. He's a farmer. He makes the old stuff seem to keep on going. But he was smart. He hired two guys that are mechanics. They're decent mechanics, and they rip things apart and build them back, and he's way ahead by doing that. So anyway, guys, we know what desire is. We want to get the biggest fish. We want to get the biggest buck, the biggest elk. We want to have the best golf score. We want to be able to, you know, just see all that stuff that pleases self. But you got to stop trying to please self. You need to start pleasing the soul. And the soul longs to be with God. We wonder why the sunsets are so beautiful and the sunrise are so awesome and the moon is just amazing. It's because God created it. And there's something in your soul that resonates when you see the creation of God. And you may not understand it, but you are communing with God when you see that stuff. When you see the majestic creatures that you just love to watch, when you see the things that happen around you of all of God created, you are resonated with that. But here's the thing, you will find that same exhilaration tenfold when you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not worship the creation, worship the Creator. Turn with me to Psalm 143. Psalm 143, verse 8 through verse 10. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love for you, in you I trust. In other words, I wake up with this desire. I don't want to know what's going on Fox News. I want to know what's going with you, Lord. Honestly, I'm guilty.
where I don't wake up in that manner like I ought. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul, it says in verse 8. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. That's a great expression. Deliver me from my enemies, Lord. You know what we want to do? We want to pound them ourselves. We want to take care of business ourselves. But no, God is saying, you can't do that. You aren't strong enough. I am strong. Come to me. I will be your refuge. And if you have desires for God, you will find him and you will find his protection. Yes, you need his protection too. Teach me to do your will, it says in verse 10, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Do you desire him this way? Faith in God is not a woman thing. I hear a lot of crickets. It's a manly thing and a womanly thing. We are all created in his image. We all should desire him, to know him, to wake up and say, Lord, where do I go today? How will this work out with you this time? I still remember riding my horse Coco. What a manly name that is, right? Ride my horse on the open prairie out in the stubble fields. We would race jackrabbits, deer, fox, you name it. If it was there, we raced it. We were faster than all of them. It was so funny this one time, there's this herd of deer. And they're out there, do-do-do-do-do. White tails, too. You know, they're usually so spooky. And I thought, I'm going to see if I can catch this herd of deer. So I go running into this herd. There was about 8 of them. And they're all loping along, doing, 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 doing. You know how deer do? Yes. Okay. So me and my studly horse, who is actually a gelding, we go galloping into this group of deer. I'm riding my bareback pad because I hate saddles. And I'm just loping along. And I'm thinking we're going to have this big race, right? And I ride right into the middle of them. And I'm going right beside her. I can reach out and grab her by the ears, either side. This is amazing. And we're running along. And I'm like, this is so awesome. They just thought we were another deer. And it was so funny because this one doe, I mean, she literally, I could have kicked her in the nose. And she does this number. And the look on her face, when she looked, boom! I mean, I didn't know eyeballs and deer were that big. But she does this, woo! And the race was on. I'm like, woo, ye, here we go, yeah! And we were going about 45 miles an hour after those deer. That was so awesome. But we were loping along, just having a good time. I have no idea why that was relevant, but it was a fun story anyway. You need to know the plans of God. You need to have a desire for him. You need to know what the day is going to bring. Do you desire him in that way? Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Oh, I know what I was going to say about that whole story. It just came to me. My horse didn't know what was going on half the time because I was talking to God through most of my horse rides. I would talk to the Lord just out loud. I was one of those crazy people. And my horse's ears were always twitching, listening in. And I would sometimes cover it like as if I'm talking to my horse, but I was really talking to God. And I just wanted to just have a time with him. And so when I would ride horse, that was my greatest prayer times. Romans 1:16 says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Wow. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So many times we hide our faith. We don't want the guys to know. We don't want to get razzed. We don't want to get pinpointed as one of those Jesus freaks. We don't want to be one of those Bible thumpers. And so we just kind of undercover Christians. And I would say, don't do it that way. You'll regret it. I'm not saying be a jerk about it. I'm not saying be so bold that you're arrogant. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying love people. Be gentle and understanding and respectful of what they believe. But do not be ashamed of God. Do not be ashamed about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a desire to know him. Have a desire for others to know him, even if that means through your testimony. And don't be afraid of these silly laws that are around here. The laws that you are afraid of don't exist. They don't exist. You can share your faith when people ask you, what do you believe? You have every right. And yet you have been told through fear-mongerings that you cannot, that you can be fired, that you cannot be in a public place, that you cannot work for the state, you cannot work for this group and share your faith. Well, yes, you can. Now, you may not be able to set up a Bible study and have a big meeting there right in the middle of the conference zones or areas, but you do have a right to share and stand up for what you believe and do it with graciousness and love. And I challenge you to do that. God is looking for men with decision, men with desire, and he's looking for men with dedication. Turn to Daniel chapter 3. I love this passage. Daniel chapter 3. Verse 16. I realize I'm jumping back and forth, Old and New Testament, but that's okay. Lots of scriptures that encourage us in our faith walk. Verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many remember those names because of that? It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which is their Babylonian names. It's not even their God-given Hebrew names. I don't even remember those. Anyway, they say to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you on this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Now that's a great statement. We're not going to bow to your idol. We're men of faith. We cannot. We will not bow. God will save us from your fiery furnace. Now, if we stop right there, we're thinking, well, that was pretty neat. But let's go on. But if not, in other words, if he doesn't save us, if we do die, if we burn up along with everybody else who's been burning up from that furnace of yours, even if he doesn't save us, it says, O king, we will not serve your gods. We will not worship the golden image that you have set up. In other words, we are willing to die for our faith if it must be so. Do you have that kind of faith? That kind of dedication to face the consequence of your choice? Now, for here in America, we have so many freedoms that we take for granted, and we are able to share our faith, as I shared just a minute ago. And we have so many freedoms that we can just be loving God and not worry about imprisonment. We don't have to worry about death. But in other parts of the world, we do worry about that. You can be executed if you are a Muslim that converts to Christianity by their own laws. That's pretty serious stuff. And yet, by the thousands, hundreds of thousands, people are getting saved in Islamic State-controlled regions, knowing they could be facing death at any moment. Well, that's what I shared earlier. We can do that. We can stand with someone pointing a gun at us, say, curse Christ or die. We'll die. We'll take that. But can we do the next thing? Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 12. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him. We know his name is Christ. All things through him who strengthens me. Can you? Can you lose your business because of your newfound faith? Can you walk away from those friends that you've been around your whole life that you do love, but you just can't go to the bar scenes anymore because you just know it's only going to pull you down and you've got some growing in your faith to do, can you make those choices? Not that you don't love those friends. You do. You reach out to them. Hey, let's go hang somewhere else. We don't have to go to the bar. Let's go fishing. Let's go do this. Now, there are those that are called to be ministers in the bars, and that's cool. If that's your mission, if that's your call, but be sure it's God. Don't be deceived and fall into a trap that only pulls you down once again. Are you dedicated when life is tough? When it seems all hell has broken loose, will you be faithful? That's where it's difficult. It's easy to face down death in a man's eye. I don't know why that is, but I can imagine that being easier sometimes than living for him. What is it with us that makes it so hard? Well, God is looking for men of dedication. I believe you can be that guy. And once again, I do want to re-say that this word is not just for men, even though I'm focused on men today. Ladies, it's yours too. This is for you as well. Finally, we have men with determination. Men with determination. And let's just say, and women. Amen? Acts chapter 20, verse 24. I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. In other words, my life means nothing except what I am doing for Him. I'm willing to suffer for the Lord. I'm willing to stand in the gap. God's looking for men who will stand there. Will you be that guy? Will you be that lady? To stand in the gap for your children, for your grandchildren, for your neighbors, for your community. There's this thing going around called I Love Glendive. Is that what it's called? I believe. I got it wrong. Sorry. But I do love Glendive, so it's honest anyway. But I believe in Glendive. You know, there are certain things that sometimes, being an outsider coming in, if I had more hair, I'd probably pull it out. Because I'm thinking, what are we doing? It doesn't make sense to me. How many feel that way sometimes? And yet I love this community. And I believe that this community is great in so many ways. But can we bring God into this greatness? Here's my vision. Our vision, and many of you as well, that we would have a joining together of those of like faith who have been born again, know Jesus personally, that we can join together and show this community how to truly believe in Glendive. Amen? To love one another, not break each other down, to encourage and to do things that might cause us to be a community that all would be proud to be a part of. We can do that, but we got to stand up and make it obviously visible, and we got to love people through it all. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? He's speaking of some situations that are coming up. You might think he's being proud and arrogant, but there's a point to it. He says this, I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. In other words, you think you've suffered, you should see what I've been through. Verse 24, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. That's the law, by the way. It was considered 40 would bring death. They couldn't kill him, but they could beat him one less than 40. Verse 25, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. It's almost like he's saying lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Right? Verse 27, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. Apart from other things, there is the daily pressures on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Not just physical, fearful, oh my goodness, someone's going to try to kill me days, but I am longing to see you guys. You're struggling where you're at, and I hurt for you. I'm anxious for you. He's dealing with the emotional challenges of a minister for people who need his strength. Verse 29, who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. You talk about determination. It's interesting when you go back to his salvation experience, and Ananias is given the task of praying over him and healing his blindness that happened because he saw the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. Ananias doesn't want to do it. I mean, isn't this the man that's persecuting us? Why would I do this? And yet he's a godly man and he hears the word of the Lord, and so he is going to do as he's told. But God says these words, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias is like, but this guy is persecuting us. Why should I go to him? Why should I even see him? It might be a trick, he's probably thinking. But God says, I will show Saul, who becomes Paul, how much he must suffer for my name's sake. It's almost as if God says, you know, you poured out so much judgment and punishment on my servants. You're going to love me. You're going to serve me with your whole heart, but you will suffer, young man. You will go through it. And he did. Now, was that fair? Was it just? Had to be, because it's God. Regardless of how you view it, the reality is this man was determined, no matter what, I will follow God. It's not me who lives, it's Christ who lives in me. I don't know what I ought to do, if I ought to die or if I ought to stay around for you guys. It's better for you that I stay. However, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In other words, I'd rather be dead and in heaven today in his glory. That's far better place than I'm living, obviously, as you just saw with your own eyes. Could you have gone through this and remained faithful? You think your life is tough? Read it through again. And tell me, you can do this. You can be faithful through it all. Are you so determined that you could face the same sufferings that Paul did and survive, and not only survive, but thrive in your faithfulness? 1 Peter chapter 4. Last passage of Scripture. 1 Peter 4:11 do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. In other words, don't be crying, oh, woe is me, my life is terrible, I should go eat worms. That's an old saying. My dad always said it. Dad, if you're listening, I blame you. I don't know why I can't get that one out of my head. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms. Anybody else grow up with that? Am I the only one? Oh, thank you. Thank you. I feel so much better. Don't feel like something strange is happening to you, verse 13, but rejoice. Insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Really? Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Whoa. I like that. Yeah, you heard that right. Murder, thief, meddler. We think meddler is no big deal. Oh, that's just a little white sin. Looks pretty serious here, doesn't it? Right up there with murder. Verse 16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. While you are going through the trials and the testings and the difficulties of this life, and your faith is a reason why it's taking place, give glory to God, remain faithful, continue to do good. Love people. Love them through it all. Amen. Have you been challenged today? I sure hope so. I know I have. I want to be that guy. I don't want to just be the guy that says, I'll lay my life on the line, I'll take that bullet, I'll tackle the shooter, I'll step out, I'll save you. I don't want to just be that guy. I mean, that's what we in the world today say is the hero. Like, wow, one of the Avengers right here on earth. Boom. No. Even a greater hero is one who lives every day for Jesus Christ. And when someone comes at you all ugly, you love them back. You don't clobber them in the nose, even though you may want to. You ask God for a little bit of grace and you say, Lord, help me say something good, something right. Help me not to be overreacting here. And you turn that thing around for love and you stand for truth. You don't get pushed around and yet you don't push around. Amen? And you live for God in all circumstance, when things are going well and when things are not. Because you are a man of decision, you're a man with desire for God, a man who's dedicated to God, and a man who is determined to stay faithful to Him. Would you stand with me as we close? Lord, thank you for the challenge. I've needed it. I know that if I could go back and start all over as an adult, there's a lot of things I would do different. There is. There are some things I think I did okay, but there's so many I did not. I thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Thank you for the forgiveness of family that recognize all those things that could become dividing tools have become stepping stones of growth, maturity. But Lord, I don't want to make more mistakes. I don't want to make bad choices. I want to serve you faithfully through it all. So Lord, I pray once again a prayer of dedication to follow you greatly, to do it well, to strive to be more like you, to be able to be that guy that you're looking for. When all of the world seems to be turning away, I want to turn toward you. And I pray this prayer for all the men who are here today. And really, Lord, it's for all of us to stand in truth. I thank you for the privilege it is to serve you, and I ask God that you will bless each and every one as we walk in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.